The amount of people that have huge blocks towards loving themselves is astronomical. Sometimes blocks are kind of like safety givers in some way, right? Until you hit a certain point where you're like, something isn't working anymore. You know, women say, I want a man that's going to be vulnerable. I want a man that's going to hold me. I want this, this, and this. And then the question is, are you doing that? All of the content has been like, women are in their masculine. They're over-masculated. I'm wondering if they're actually not in their masculine, but they're in their feminine trying to do a masculine thing.
In every religion, God is a he. But when you look at creation, creation comes from a woman. We literally create life. If anything, I would think God is both masculine and feminine.
If you look at like therapy in the last 20 years, I guess when it first started, it's very mind focused. And then we saw the body come in, all the somatic practices. And now I feel like the soul part is coming in. That could be a little tricky navigating that because spirituality, just like in any system, can be manipulated.
How so?
Welcome to the Fully Express podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna
and Samantha.
And this is the show where we're inviting you into your fullest expression in life, love, and business.
Enjoy. Hey guys, today's episode is such a good one. We sat down with Jen Hershey, who is a licensed therapist, passionate about helping people navigate life's challenges, but also helping them to reconnect with their inner wisdom. She is the former host of the podcast, How We Get Through, and has spent years exploring mental health and healing through conversations with not only other therapists, but with healers as well. She, in her personal practice, helps clients move through life's transitions with greater self-awareness and compassion through the use of not only talk therapy, but also spirituality and intuitive practices that not only help her patients reconnect with themselves, but also move through life with more trust, clarity, and intention.
What we loved so much about this episode, at least personally, was that she teaches you how to bridge the gaps between the framework and also finding your inner authority. When it comes to really creating a deep relationship with yourself, really learning how to trust and love your authenticity, it really is finding that internal discernment of your inner authority. And she walks you through that so beautifully. This episode is just perfect. And I know you're going to get something so great from it.
Enjoy.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
This is so exciting to be here. This is like in person, live.
I know. Have you done it in
real time?
No. Well, I used to have a podcast.
I know.
All of it's virtual. So I just have to worry about the top up.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I have legs.
No PJ bottoms today.
I know.
No sweats. Literally. No
exactly.
Sweats today.
It's like we are in the real world.
We are. So excited that you're here today. We're so excited for this conversation because you're a therapist. And
yes.
You're also very spiritual.
Yes.
And we're going to talk so much about just like the journey of both to finding your authenticity and also getting to know you more.
I love it.
Which is the best.
Yay.
So I would love to get started with like my initial question is like, what brought you towards wanting to be a therapist?
Well, I actually never wanted to be one.
Okay. Tell me more.
Okay. Expand.
I did all of the like college or I like worked with a therapist, a career coach when I was 18. Mm-hmm. And the first thing obviously was like therapist. And I was like, nope, that's not fun. I don't want to do it. And then in my late 20s, I was just kind of like working at a hospital doing things. And I was like, I think I'm ready to go back to school. And so at 27, I went back to school. I got my master's and then started the very long journey to licensure, which is 3,000 hours. And then I had my first baby. She was 3 months and I got licensed when she was 3 months old. And I've been doing a private practice ever since then. And everything, just like myself, has constantly evolved. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a crazy journey being in the mental health field, seeing what's happening in the world, and then your own personal things that you go through. So it's always been my calling. And I think I fought it for so long. And now that I'm 41, I think I'm really dropping into that. This is like a part of my purpose. It's a part of who I am. Like, even if I meet someone at a bar or whatever, I'm like, tell me everything about you. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like
literally I just the most curious person.
Yes.
And you're also like, let me give you the biggest tricks to like change your world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, that's really great. Thanks for sharing. Here's my advice.
This is Jen's party trick. If you don't know.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. It's like I want a deep connection. And then I feel like it's like quickly I connect to like soul level and then I just like speak it and they're like, whoa. And I'm like, Yeah. But this is not me saying this.
You're just opening to be the channel.
Yeah. And which is interesting because I never thought I was channeling. And like probably 3 months ago, I was like, have I been channeling? Like, because there's sometimes where I say the most beautiful fucking thing in sessions. I'm like, I mean, it could be a fucking postcard. It could be like a book. And they're like, wow, that was really good. And I'm like, yeah, that was really good. And they're like, can you repeat that? I go, no, I don't know. I don't remember a word I just said. Like, wait, it's, I relate just
so much.
Yes. Yeah. It just feels like this clear kind of like drop in. And I do think like it's so important to have a therapist, but it's so important to have your own authority within therapy. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, you know, when I'm like speaking these things, I reiterate, like, this isn't me saying this. Mm-hmm. Right. This is something that your soul, that I believe is your soul, and you can take that or leave that. Like, it doesn't, I'm not attached to them like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever, right? Mm-hmm. Because if it doesn't resonate, it doesn't resonate. But I will say, like, 99% of the time it does. And I think that's reassuring for me of like, oh, okay, something's happening here that feels magical. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. Mm-hmm. But again, I think that has evolved over time as you kind of deconstruct the therapy world and what it is and how to stay in this box. And when you can really be your authentic self, like the connection that grows, the impact.
How did you navigate that? I mean, I never went to be school like a therapist, but there's a lot of rules in therapy.
So many fucking rules, yeah.
There's so many, like, this is what you do when someone has this. You know, as a life coach, you know, they teach you these frameworks, right, that get someone through their process.
Mm-hmm.
How do you navigate that?
It's like I tell young therapists, I'm like, you go and learn and all this is great, and then you have to unlearn a lot because you are sitting across a person that is different and unique, and you have to connect to them, not this like framework or this other thing, right? And so there, it's helpful, and we have structures in place like that are very important, that protect a lot of people. So it's not all bad. It's not all good, but it can feel just like very restricting and limited. And if you look at like therapy in the last 20 years, like, I guess when it first started, it's very mind focused, right? And then we saw the body come in, right? All the somatic practices. And now I feel like the soul part is coming in. And that could be a little tricky navigating that, because spirituality, just like in any system, can be manipulating, right? And so,
how so?
I think when I talk about like soul level or spirituality, probably more of like religious or Christian, not Christian particularly, but like whenever we get a system that says this entity is bigger than you or better than you, I should say, or has authority over you, I feel then we discount our own authority, and then we kind of, we don't take responsibility for ourselves. We don't take action towards healing ourselves. Like, I feel it's almost this like giving up. And I think when we can switch that authority to ourselves, like God or the universe isn't above me. I am it. There's a neutrality there that you have so much more room to be curious about, right? Because if someone knows better than me, then I will always be on the out. I will always be less than, right? And I think especially for women, we're constantly fighting that less than narrative. And also they're the most spiritual people on the planet, right? And so I think it's like, how do we kind of own our own spirituality, our own selves as is, and not having anything like come before us.
This is so I'm like, what strings do I pull? I mean, I love that you brought this whole like neutrality of you are God. I mean, we believe that so deeply. But how does, talk a little bit more about like giving, not giving your power away, but you were saying like authority over. What does that mean? Because I think especially when you look at religions, there is something to look forward to when you're giving your power away to. But what does that mean? And how do you like create a relationship with God?
Yeah.
While also still believing that you guys are the same.
Yeah. I mean, I have done this numerous times, especially in my own like spirituality journey over the last 3 years. I'm like, I want this tarot reading. Tell me about this. Have this psychic reading, like blah, 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 blah. And I fucking loved it. And I always gave my authority to them. Mm. Every single time. I'm like, well, you, oh my gosh, you know that? You know that's going to happen to me? Wow. And I don't have, and that means you're better than me and I don't have anything special. And I think that's where I learned the most of like, oh, I have just been giving you all of this authority and not taking responsibility for my own life or my own giftings. Mm-hmm. And listen, I do fucking tarot readings, right? Like I love it. But I think even in the therapy world, it's like, I'm here to help you gain your own authenticity and authority back because I've had to learn that, mm-hmm. right? And that's where I can, again, make the best decisions for myself and actually lead myself. You know, we have people, we're in relationships, I think, to activate us, to like help us grow. But at the end of the day, like it is our decisions, right? And it's our, I think, again, when you, I keep coming back to that word responsibility, but I think it's very powerful when we can do it in an empowering way, not a shaming way. And again, I don't know why I'm thinking about women, but women, I think, well, like, well, it's my fault I did this. It's blah, 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 blah. Okay. But what if you have the power to change it, what happens then? Right? If you could kind of like bring it into a neutral space, okay, this happened. What do I want out of this? Mm-hmm. Right? Where do I want to take this? If I have this tarot reading, okay, what resonates with me? What doesn't?
Why do you think we have such a deep programming of giving our power away?
Patriarchal lens.
Because I think it's interesting. We identify God as a he in everything. In every religion, God is a he.
Yeah.
But when you look at creation, creation comes from a woman. We literally create life. Yeah. So the odds of God being a he, if anything, I would think God is both masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's so interesting because I feel like you're mentioning women, especially giving their authority away. And I'm curious. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you say patriarchy, but can you dive a little deeper into why or maybe what you see when you work with women specifically?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many factors, right? But I think women are so much more community focused, mm-hmm. right? Where, of course, okay, everything I say, like I read a book, I saw a TikTok, guys. Okay. I saw a TikTok and this, somebody was saying this, but they were talking about like men spiritual leaders are always kind of like give back or like think about others and all these things. And women naturally
do that.
They need
to do that, yeah.
And they need to actually do the opposite. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I'm kind of hitting on women of like taking back their power, taking back their authority, because we will naturally care for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody, because it's in the way that we are wired, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So to really like care for ourselves, it has been deemed selfish, mm-hmm. or you're, I don't know, just too self-involved, blah, 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 right? And so it's really kind of changing that narrative, mm-hmm. from a different lens of like, what would happen if we cared more about ourselves? Mm. We're not going to not stop caring about other people.
Right. It's not even going to be an option.
We can't. Yeah, exactly. Like,
it's so hard for us to even do that.
Right. So that I think is that other piece coming online. And you've seen this huge awakening for women this last, I don't know, 5 years, mm-hmm. in business, in relationships, in all the things, in parenting and motherhood. Like, we're kind of like, wait a minute, what about us? What about us? What about me? What's important for me in my life? Mm-hmm. And you know, when you come from that place and from a place of love, it impacts the people around you. Mm-hmm. So how could that be bad? Mm-hmm. How could that be wrong? And how could that be selfish?
How do people work to unlocking that for themselves?
Sometimes, obviously, we have blocks, right? And sometimes a good question is, what is the benefit of that block for me? Mm. Right? Like, what does this – does it help me ignore my body? Does it help me ignore the shitty things in my relationship? Does it help me ignore my fears in parenthood? Like, sometimes, you know, blocks are kind of like safety, mm-hmm. givers in some way, right? Until you hit a certain point where you're like, something isn't working anymore. So if you want to change anything, the first step is like, what is this giving me first? And what am I not willing to kind of give up right now? Or can I be honest with myself that like, I don't want to focus on me because my body just doesn't feel good. Like I feel a lot of shame. Or like, if I focus on me, what does that mean in my marriage, right? Does all of the things in my marriage shift or my relationship? Like, it can be really scary for a woman to change at any point in her life, but especially in this like midlife time where you've built a whole life. Okay, because I'm divorced.
Well, yeah, you want to talk a little bit about that? Like, yeah, the transitions that happen later in life?
Yeah. I mean, I'm officially divorced last year, but then, you know, everything falls before that. And, you know, divorce is hard. Divorce is scary. And it was so scary to look at myself and be like, this isn't the life that I want. Right. And or I'm not authentically showing up in my relationship. Right. People, you know, women say, I want a man that's going to be vulnerable. I want a man that's going to hold me. I want this, this, and this. And then the question is, are you doing that? Mm-hmm. Are you being, and I wasn't, I was closed off to myself. I wasn't true to my own feelings. And when I started to do that, everything shifted in my marriage. Mm-hmm. Everything shifted in the way I viewed myself, in the way I viewed others. And that's fucking scary, mm-hmm. you know? And then you make decisions out of that. But I am also so proud of the decisions that I did make, because it's almost like you can't unsee anything anymore. You're just like, this is not it. And having so much love and compassion for that past version of yourself that thought that this was it and like this was easy. And like there's sometimes, and I have two kids, there's sometimes where I like, I'm not going to cry about it now, but I like, am I? I have like this sweet spot for this like naive younger mom that was like just having dinner in the backyard and like, this is it. This is our life, you know? And everything shifted, but it's in a way because I did choose to authentically be me. And sometimes that means people kind of have to shift in your life and systems have to change. And I think that's what is the hardest part. Again, especially for women, when we're here for the community. We're here for the group. Mm-hmm. We're here for everyone. Family, right? The family. Yes. Yeah. I can't break up my family, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that was a really hard thing to kind of sit with. But I mean, we hang out all the time. We co-parent great.
I was going to say, how did your ex-husband receive it? Receive these shifts and these changes and...
Do you think
he also was going through his own thing or...
I can't really speak for him. I think it just felt like we kept going apart. And then we did couples counseling and it was like very enlightening and very, very good. But it was too far gone for me
to come back.
Yeah. Cause I think at a fundamental level, we actually were never really the same.
Like fully compatible.
Yeah. And I think that's what I saw the most. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I can give you like 15 years to change this, whatever. I mean, I can't. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm all fire. I gotta go. But but at the core of it was like, oh, this just isn't it anymore, you know? And I chose an unavailable, emotionally unavailable man at 27 because I was like, well, this is cool. I can do this work for you and for me. Let's get married, have kids. And we did it. But I was emotionally unavailable, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just on him, but it's like, again, when you can take that responsibility, that's where I was. And then I shifted and nothing else really shifted with me at that level. And that's okay. But that was a hard choice to make. But it just didn't feel right anymore in our relationship as this is as a marriage. Mm-hmm. We're great co-parents. We work really well together on a lot of different things, but the actual relationship, the depth of that just wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. I would love to know, was there a moment where you're like, I need more of Jen? Like, where is she? When did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, when you have kids, it's like a fucking portal. Yeah. A portal, and then you get messy, then you put yourself back together and you're like, who am I? I really do think like kids just take up so much time in your marriage and in your own personal life that they're great, but it's, you have to work that much harder to be like, who am I and what I want. And I think I fell really hard into business. So my ex-husband and I created an app and I had a podcast and like, I was like, this is it. This is who I am. Like, I am a person that has an app and I'm going to get some funding. And I'm like, this is my next iteration of me. Mm-hmm. And through that, I actually found who I was. And mm-hmm. I wasn't this thing that I was doing, but I was this like really in-depth person that's curious about the world, that wants to have life experiences and to be impactful. But I'm not like a product, and I'm not like, I don't know, a businesswoman. And so kids help you with that, but I think it was my actual business and then letting it go and then being like, who am I now and who do I want to be, right? Just because I don't have those things anymore doesn't mean like I don't feel like I'm floating. I feel like the whole world is crumbling. Everything is falling down. Mm-hmm. And through the crumble, we need to create something new, right? And so I feel that for me personally. I've been feeling that for a couple years. Like, I know something next is going to happen for me, but it's almost like you're asking me to draw a square and I've never seen a square before, mm-hmm. but I have the concept of it, right? And so I think about that with spirituality, with therapy, with everything. Like, we're in a really kind of chaotic time, but a really beautiful time where we get to create new systems and new ways of being. And I think women are leading that because they're so attuned and because they've reclaimed themselves. And, you know, again, when you lead from that heart space, everybody wins.
The first thing that I think about in that is the unknown, though, because like the unscary. I know, because I remember when I started my journey of like really trying to find who I was, mm-hmm. you kind of go into this like gray, this black hole. There's no answers. You think that there's answers in the next business idea or in the next thing that you're going to build. But when you really, really want to find your like most authentic self, it's mm-hmm. like it's not in those things.
Right. It's in the crying sessions. It's in the depths. It's in the heartache. It's in the joy. It's in like – that's that soul remembrance, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And as a projector, I can't wait for the 50s because, you know, when I'm 50, I'm going to like
supposedly,
really.
That's when we like really hit it. I know. I'm like,
that's
all right.
Well,
yeah. Oh my God.
I got 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, your 50s really, you know. But yeah, I don't know, again, I'm looking at you because astrology, because I'm kind of into it, but I don't know a lot. But you know what I mean? But I'm like, let's go. I usually jump into things fast and then midway through, I'm like, what the fuck? What did I do? Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a lot of things ever really stopping me from this like evolving.
Mm-hmm. You're used to evolving.
Yeah. And
you're comfortable evolving.
Yeah. And if mm-hmm. I don't, I'm like, what's happening? Mm-hmm. You know, like, where is my change? Where's my next thing? Whatever. Mm-hmm. So my work is really being like, it's okay that I'm not evolving. What is happening for me right now? Or who am I right now? How do I ground in this moment? And so I think it's different for a lot of people, right? And so you kind of have to ask yourself again, like, where are my blocks in this? Mm-hmm. And if I had certainty, if I didn't have fear, what would my life? Yeah. Limitless.
So good.
Yeah. I mean, I think because life is moving so quickly, I mean, I too think society is crumbling. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Mm-hmm. And I also think women are meant to lead this mm-hmm. new phase that we're moving into, this new level of consciousness. But I also am always like curious because I also think we need men 100%. Oh, yeah. And we need them. It's interesting. Like speaking of TikToks, I've listened to a man actually talking about history and how one of the longest periods of time without war and conflict was when a woman was in power. And it was like 75 years. And I think about that and how we fit into these systems. But I do think what's happening right now, especially for people, whether you have a lot of fire or don't, I mean, we're already in March, you know, I feel like the year just started and here we are 3 months in. And I think that the more we can tap inward and become more grounded and just really like center ourselves in the chaos, mm-hmm. I think, you know, I've said this so many times previously, but you know, life will only get better for you if you're aligned with your own integrity and truth. Even though it's burning down around you, like our lives just get better and better and better because we're not affected. We're not influenced by the external. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's okay to not know right now because we don't know.
Yeah.
I tell people sometimes, like, I guess from an astrological viewpoint or even just a consciousness shift, I often think that there are people right now like you, mm-hmm. like us, or we're doing what we're meant to do, but also there's a version of us and a level of us that we haven't unlocked because we can't imagine. It's like exactly what you said about the square, is that I think where we are going, we have never been. Mm-hmm. And so we cannot even actually conceptually fully understand consciously where we're going yet. Mm-hmm. I think that it's being received. But as you said, like we have to burn the matrix down first. Like this program has to end and we have to be so raw and exposed to every lie that we have been told that until we are, and there's plenty of people who are not exposed to the lie yet. Yeah. So until we are, we have to wait. It's like we're the leaders holding the space, holding the love. Because I agree. I think it's all about heart-centeredness. Like we're here to give and receive, but that does also mean that you love yourself first.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a lot of fucking work.
It's a lot.
I was going to say.
It's a lot of fucking work.
And as
work.
You said, like with women, it's so easy to love others. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to give to others. Mm-hmm. And you do have to get rid of that programming of I'm selfish for putting myself first, or I'm selfish for choosing what I need first. Because when you do, you realize like I can't even – I'm not a mom, but I imagine when you actually put yourself first, you can put your kids –
yeah.
Second, but you can put them in a way that like they get all of you versus if it's always about them. I mean, that's why I think so many marriages dissipate, because one, you already didn't have the congruency and the integrity together in your mission and your values, but also everything is about the children and you lose yourselves. And if you already as a woman don't have yourself, how could you give to your husband? How can you give to anything else? It's like the kids, the kids, the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think about this, and a big part for me was like sensuality and sexuality. I love talking about it. And decentering men's pleasure, right? And recentering my pleasure, and how more fucking fun that is and freeing and exciting and like.
And they receive in that too.
Exactly.
Oh, well, a good conscious
Everyone's,
man.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say it this way. A nice, well-rounded, conscious man also receives in that.
Absolutely.
You're not taking from them.
Absolutely. And so I just feel like it's the greatest example of when you put your pleasure first, everybody fucking wins. So when you put yourself first, everybody fucking wins. I just see it the most, I think, in the pleasure sensuality way, because I think that has had to have so much more deprogramming of, you know, we're performing for them, or are they getting off, right? Or are they enjoying it? How does my body look? Blah, 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 all these things. And like when you just like are in your own self and are there for you and you want to get off or you want a sensual, whatever it is, like it is game changing. And that could be with a partner. It could be without a partner. But I do think that's like another huge piece of our power and our creativity and our spark. It's like the juiciness of life for women is that we can be soft, we can be hard, we can be whatever the fuck we want, you know? And so I feel like if you, and this might be a hard place to start for some people, but like start exploring your body, like start loving it, start like realizing what feels good, what doesn't feel good, and like then kind of go from there, because I think that is, you know, I talk about sex magic a lot too, like in manifesting from that. And I've seen really great things from that. And it when you have like an orgasm, it's just like the most powerful thing that a woman can do. And like to be in that and to ground in that. Sorry if we're segmenting.
No. Segwaying somewhere else. Go.
Go get yourself effed and have a great time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's such a – what I love about sexuality and sensuality, it's such an intimate space to do the work. And I think it's something that women, humans, people, especially women, can connect to is like, ooh, like the bedroom is a place where I have an edge, you know, like versus like I think in our society, it's like, oh, work, I'll go to work, you know, like I'll go to corporate, I'll build a business. Like they feel so comfortable in an office. But like, do you feel comfortable in the bedroom?
Yeah.
And like, do you feel like your most authentic self? Because, you know, everything is connected. So like if you can access yourself in the bedroom or in partnership or in your sexuality and your sensuality, it's going to show you your edges in a way that you might not see in the office or in your day-to-day life or even your relationship with your kids, right? Like that's not going to come up, but it's all essentially the same, right? Like ultimately accessing pleasure, ultimately choosing pleasure for yourself. And what would it look like for you to like walk and move through the world like that? Even if it's not sensual or sexual, right?
Yes.
It's truly just like, what do I desire?
Right. Do I want a coffee right now? Do I want to walk this way or that way? Do I want to call a friend? Do I, you know, like that is pleasure in itself. That is that internal asking you what you want, which we don't. We're like, what do our kids need? What do our friends need? What does this need? Right. And again, we will always do that. It's just working on this other side to be more balanced. Mm-hmm. We all have masculine, feminine energy within us, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I do think like all of the content has been like, women are in their masculine. Women are in their masculine. They're over-masculated. And I kind of have this like idea. I'm like, I'm wondering if they're actually not in their masculine, but they're in their feminine trying to do a masculine thing. Mm. So if you think about like water and a container, right? Water is the feminine and the cup is the masculine, right? And so when we don't have a cup, we have water that pours everywhere. We have burnout, right? Because we're giving from a place with no boundaries and no care for ourselves, where the masculine is the container, right? And so it's like, I read a lot of smut books. So I kind of did this exercise of picturing my own inner masculine, and he's like 6'5" with wings and whatever, it's fine, long hair. But I imagine him kind of like swooping in and being like, oh baby girl, we don't do that, like or you know, kind of like taking care of me. And he's like so connected to my feelings, he's so connected to what I need or want. I don't need to communicate it, but he like comes in and rescues me. And so what that looks like at work is like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm done at 5, right? I'll call you tomorrow morning, right? It's like, it's the external thing of like a very masculine thing to do, which is the action, which is the boundary, which is the like structure, so that the feminine can feel and do whatever the fuck she wants. She could create, she'd be like, let's go kill someone. And he'd be like, I don't know, but I'm down. Like, let's talk about it. You know, like he still is the, nothing can be weird or wrong with that masculine, right? And so I think that gives women a lot of freedom to express in a very safe and healthy way. And then also actually helps us prevent burnout, because we're not coming from this woman, I'm going to give you everything place, right? We're actually coming in and saying, I can give you this much because I need to contain this part for me. And this is in relationships as well. Yeah.
This is so good, because I want to say, just like you're talking about, this is like an internal process that we're doing for ourselves.
Correct.
So we're saying not an actual physical masculine in the room, but we're saying like internally, anytime that we're like, oh, I can push the button, like, yeah, sure, I'll take a 6 p.m. call. Your inner masculine comes through and it's like, wait, baby, like, do you really want to do that? And it's like, I remember when we talked about this at our dinner. So like, it's such a loving way that the masculine comes in and protects you in your internal world.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. It is an internal job, right? But I do think sometimes it's helpful to like give your inner masculine or inner feminine like an archetype, or how would they look? How would they approach you? Do they call it, mine calls me baby girl, you know, like, does he like come in and swoop and save you? Does he like pick you up and like throw you over the shoulder? Is he very playful? Like, it's just, I think, really helpful to kind of really ground into these archetypes that are in us, right? But it's like the ultimate mother in healing, right? It's like, she knows exactly what you need at any time, at any moment, because she's so connected to you. And so I think this is just another beautiful internal exercise for women, is like, because we do need men.
Yeah.
We do need men. It's not that like women are off doing their own thing. And so we need this masculine piece of us, right?
We just need to be put on their dragon. You know what I'm saying? Like,
fucking ride that shit.
You know?
You guys read similar books, so.
Ride that dragon, girl. Yes, exactly. And then so look at or how playful.
We won't go into that scene.
Yes. Oh my God, so good. But then look at when we feel safe enough, then we can play.
Yeah.
We can banter. We can have fun. We can flow more easily because we know that we have that safety in that container. And so it is, I think, like when you're, if you're looking for a relationship or if you're in a relationship, I think this exercise is very healing. Like, how would my masculine show up for me right now? You know, and then you come from a place of not needing something from someone, but like, I want to share with you what this was like for me and what I'm going to do about it, and then also what I need from you. Mm-hmm. So it has helped me kind of like conceptualize and visualize my own container, my own masculinity in a really hot, sexy, fun way and healing way.
Yeah. I think even if you have an open-hearted, like supportive, emotionally available partner, you still should do that. Like,
yes.
You should always, I think, come back into yourself first, mm-hmm. and then you can bring that. And then, yes, you're received so beautifully because you have this partner who wants to be yeah. there with you and see it. But like when you can show up with that in yourself, then it is, like you said, creating the cup for yourself, mm-hmm. so that even even emotionally available men are not always there, you know, like they have their own shit going on. So I just think it's like so important. I think that's such a beautiful suggestion for all women, for anybody. Yeah. And yeah. men.
And men.
But men can, well, maybe some men want winged men too, you know, but.
Right.
But it could
whatever
be.
They want. Yeah. Their inner masculine. I mean, they yeah. might have a wounded masculine, right? So like, what does it mm-hmm. actually mean to be a masculine man? And it's not going to be macho, but.
That's a big question that men
that
are struggling with right now.
Such a great question to ask. And I love this practice too for men, because yeah. it's like, well, I think a lot of people look to like the father figure. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of men want their father, you know, they don't realize that they're looking to their father for
yeah
that guidance. But yeah, wow, that's it. It just like blew my mind a little bit.
Yeah. And I think the answer is, or the question for men is like, what emotions am I afraid of? What emotions am I afraid to hold or to face within myself? Because a true masculine man, which we know from all our smut books because they're written from a woman's perspective, though, is like there's physical safety and then mm-hmm. there's the emotional safety. Mm-hmm. And when a woman has emotional safety, she will fucking give you the world, right? And so that is the piece, I think, for men. Like, what is my own inner masculine? Like, how is it protecting me? Where are the boundaries of that? But the bigger question is, how is he connected to my inner feminine? What's my inner feminine saying? Where does she want to play? Where is she feeling afraid? Where does she want to create? You know, and how do they, again, like work together? And this is inner union, right? This is like
right.
wholeness that we're all kind of like, I don't think you ever like land at wholeness. And you're like, okay, I'm good, right? It's like you just kind of go in and out of it and like coming back and coming back. And so I think it's an invitation for men of like, what is, you know, my inner feminine saying, and give her an archetype. Like, is she fucking crazy and wild and like crying every second? Or is she just like very motherly and soft and soft spoken and attentive, receiving? Yeah. Like whatever you want it to be, mm-hmm. as long as they are like in union together and talking to each other, helping each other, protecting each other, that mm-hmm. you can't have one without the other. Right. So yeah, it's been really helpful for me. And then I've also shared it with some clients and it's like, oh, I never thought of it that way. But I think it's like, I don't know, it can be fun sometimes too. And healing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Such a good one. I feel called to like bring it back to being the feminine leader in this world mm-hmm. today, in the world that we're in. So I don't know what you got, your thoughts are on that, but like I was like thinking when we were talking about being a, like a leader in this, yeah. how do we navigate that?
I mean, I think it goes back to what you were saying in so many words, Sam, about like being really grounded. Like I think it's about obviously opening up to yourself constantly, like being curious about yourself, but then it's like grounding in that mm-hmm. because I think that's where the world can shift you, especially right now when everything's chaotic, but yeah. like our whole world, our job right now is just to be like, I mean, it's going to sound so corny, but it is. I'm like, can love actually change the world? Like, can we try it? Can we fuck around and find out? You know, like, mm-hmm. let's try that. But we have to keep grounding ourselves in that because everything is trying to sway us off of that. And then again, I feel like you can't go wrong when you're leading from that space. And like success is going to look different. Money is mm-hmm. going to look different. Products are going to look different. Like, I don't fucking know what it is, and it's so frustrating sometimes, but like, it's like you have to really erase everything, which is very difficult, right? Mm-hmm. But like, how do I want to leave? If none of this existed, what would I be doing right now?
That's a really good question.
How do I want to lead from that, you know? And that creativity is here. Mm-hmm. It's from us. It's born from us. Mm-hmm. It's born from each other. So that's where I feel like how we can kind of lead that in that way. But it's hard. That's hard.
Such a good question, because my mind immediately goes to like, well, what do I know?
Right.
Nothing.
Nothing. But if you're saying mm-hmm. like, I know nothing, like we literally have nothing and we have this ultimate playground and nothing existed and there was no system, what would you do?
Yeah.
How would you lead? Mm. How would you show up? Like, that makes me want to go home and journal on that question, because it's just like such a good question. It's like you have a whiteboard.
Yeah.
Nothing exists. The way that we pay, the way that we run through the world, the way that we – the laws that are in place, the way that we drive. Like, imagine mm-hmm. if nothing was yeah. there.
I think you'd have a massive panic attack, and yeah. then you'd probably just be.
Yeah. I know. And my system's, just, like, yeah. feeling activated just in that questioning. So I'm like, wait, nothing.
I think about this
– yeah. There's no structure. It's our unstructured.
Yeah. Austin and I talk about this a lot because, like, Corinna, we've talked about this on here, but I've done Bufo, which is toad medicine, and you die. And like you think you're dead yeah. and you come back.
I love that.
And when you come back, at least my own experience and his experience was like the what you experience when you leave your physical body, like your soul detaches from your – like your ego mm-hmm. dissipates, your soul detaches, and you're in this liminal space. I don't like the word love because I feel like it's not – big enough. It doesn't encompass the pure bliss and ecstasy that you are experiencing, this like just being a frequency. But when you come back, you're just like, oh, this is like before the world was crawling. This is like 2021, I think I did it. It was really hard to come back because you're like, what is the point of all this, you know? And there's this reimagining of, okay, what do I want to contribute? How do I want to be? So much of the things that gave me anxiety and put me in fight or flight just did not matter anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm able in my life now, of course, like I'm a human, like I'm affected by time and life and people, but there's this detachment that comes in way quicker. And I think about the question Austin and I talk about a lot is like what that exact question, like, okay, if we know that this is an illusion, like we believe we've chosen to come here at this time mm-hmm. and be heart-centered beings and hold this vibration. And personally for me, I feel like the purpose of us to be here is to be love, period. Like mm-hmm. if Gandhi said, if you want to be the change you want to see, like you just have to be and you have to be pure love and you have to keep coming back to your heart and coming back to your heart and coming back to your heart. But we still live in a matrix system and we have to pay rent. Well, we don't have to, but we're choosing to pay rent. We're choosing to contribute. We're choosing to do all these things. And so I think, you know, I say like I'm contributing and participating in society until society no longer exists. Mm-hmm. And how do you come back to that heart-centeredness over and over regardless of whether or not you're participating or, you know, fighting against? Because at the end of the day, like this is like such a maybe an heightened concept, but like we're just pure consciousness yeah. projecting itself in physical, appeared physical form. So if you really live from the place that your thoughts create your reality, then you're just living what you're projecting. But at mm-hmm. the root of it, you're just the light of awareness. Like you are God, bringing it full mm-hmm. circle to what you said first, or source or divine. Mm-hmm. You are just an expression of that frequency. And so, yeah, I get why you're in a place of like, well, I don't know where we're going, because that's what it feels like mm-hmm. like this complete unknown of what are we without all these systems, without this projection that we've all agreed upon to like come and be a part of. But now people are like choosing not to be we don't want to be a part of this yeah. projection anymore.
And I think what's an important thing that you named is that this idea of love, and because I'm in the industry that I'm in, the amount of people that can't or have huge blocks towards loving themselves is astronomical. So when I say love, I'm getting like really, like I could cry right now. So when I say love, like it is like the purest form of seeing oneself mm-hmm. fully with curiosity and understanding and compassion that they can't seem to do outside of themselves mm-hmm. in that moment. And so when I'm like, can love change the world? And when I see it happen in session, it's like, I'm like, you're doing a great job. You're perfect. Mm-hmm. And you just see it on their face like this, like, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like in these micro, when we pull back the macro, we're like, this is a fucking shit show. I don't know. I got no control over anything. Right. Yeah. And I think it's coming back to these micro pieces of like, but if I loved myself a little bit more, would I interact with this person differently? Would I think about myself differently and then think about others differently? Mm-hmm. Right. So and I'm like, my voice is getting lower, getting softer. I just feel like there's such a tenderness that we can like overpass so quickly, yet it is the hardest fucking thing to do.
It's so interesting because I do feel like the deepest, so many people are seeking. Like even especially in the spiritual community, I see so many people seeking in every capacity for something, for an answer, for it to make sense. And I'm just like, but just be love, like just love yourself. Like that, it's so interesting because I just know people that are, they're just looking for love at the root. And it's so, I totally get that. Like, I wish, I mean, I don't think Bufo is not a drug I recommend to really anybody. It's intense and I think it's not meant for everyone, but I wish more people could see and come back to that place of love because all it showed me was like, wow, this is a gift. Mm-hmm. Being here in the physical is such a gift. Mm-hmm. And being able to have these conversations and meet people and just like see people is such a gift that is so finite. Mm-hmm. Like we are here for such a moment in time. And I think the powers that be have done such a good job of distracting us from loving ourselves, from just being present with ourselves, from just realizing that like we don't need to escape this reality. There's nothing to seek. It's all right here. And this world is so beautiful. Yeah. Like there's so much beauty around us in every little moment with the people that we're with. Like I wish more people could hear like when someone's on their deathbed, they're not like, wow, so glad I made that $1 billion or that 100K or whatever. They're just like, wow, I wish I spent more time like with my children. I wish that I appreciated every little moment of their laughter, of their smile, of their, you know, it's so interesting. I'm curious, like, how do you get people to see that love for themselves? Because I think that is the biggest wound that is like plaguing us as people.
Yeah. And it is like the biggest gift. And it's also the best honor. Like, even if I think it's hard for a lot of people, if they don't feel it at all, then you're like, love yourself. It's like so overwhelming. It's
they don't know what that means.
Right. Yeah. So it's very black and white. It's like, I'm shutting this off. This is too much. I don't like this. Right. Mm-hmm. It's super uncomfortable. And so I feel like it's just like in these small shifts, it's in the way that you respond to someone. It's the eye contact. It's the loving, like you're doing so great. Like it's just like this positive regard and this perception that someone else has of you that you cannot see yourself yet, but you know it's there. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like that like soul piece comes in of like, there's like a certain phrase or something that I say, they're like, whoa, you hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so sit with that. What does that mean for you? Right. And how do you take care of that part that's really scared or afraid of whatever? Mm-hmm. Right. So I think love is actually like reparenting, remothering, refathering, healing. And honestly, the biggest part is just fucking acknowledging that it's there. Mm-hmm. And validating like a part of you is really pissed that this person did X, Y, and Z, or that I feel unlovable or whatever it is, and allow yourself to do that. Cause we can like gaslight ourselves. Well, I shouldn't feel that way because it doesn't exist or this hasn't, blah, blah, blah. And so I think it's like giving yourself time to slow down. Like, no, this was really painful for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, usually you can tell when you're coming from a place of like, this is the most loving thing that I can do and think. But then, you know, I think it's so easy for our minds to go more into the like, how can I get hard on myself in this moment? And I think if we asked ourselves that question even more, just like helping people choose between like, am I being hard on myself or am I being the most loving that I can be?
Yeah.
And I think like at least giving yourself a little bit of internal discernment of like, where are these thoughts coming from? Am I coming from lack? Am I trying to get hard on myself? Or am I truly like the most loving every single part of me in this moment? Because that's really what it all comes down to.
Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of awareness, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times in therapy, I'm like, there's either a phrase or a body sensation. I'm like, okay, that's your cue. That's your cue that you're starting to shit on yourself, right? Mm-hmm. That's a cue that you're starting to really kind of like harden around you. So notice that. start to be more aware of that, because all of this is so subconscious. We're constantly like
making decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking negatively to ourselves. Being
so hard.
Yeah. And we're making thousands of decisions in a second. Absolutely. Which I don't know if we realize that, because like sometimes you're like, oh, I only thought about one decision today. And I'm like, no, in that second, you just thought your brain just processed so many decisions in that moment so quickly that like you didn't even realize that you decided.
Yes. And this brings up another point of what we think is productive, right? And what we think is like moving the needle. Again, it's all from like a patriarchal lens. Like, am I working hard enough? Am I doing the things that I need to do? Yeah. Right. And so from the other side of that, it's not, we just need this, right? But we're trying to find this balanced view. I'll give you a good example. A friend of mine, her husband passed away 2 years ago, and she is still so much in her grief, and she's on leave right now, and she's doing EMDR. She's doing therapy. She has a 7-year-old. Like, she's like, I wasn't productive today. And I was like, sister, was like, I want you to think about the emotional productivity that you're having right now, because it's not going to look like you paying a bill. It's not going to look like you sending an email. It's you taking care of your body. It's you resting. Right. And so we're really having to flip like what is productive for us as people, as women, as humans, that isn't going to be, again, from this patriarchal lens of like, I'm doing this thing, like the emotional work to do that. Is that, I don't know, worth 10,000 emails? How do you equate that, right? But it's like we have to start seeing the value in all the work we're doing, not just this output, which is very hard in business and life. Cool. But it's, I think that's like coming online and kind of shifting. Like this is just as important than, again, like paying a bill or sending an email.
And I think what you're saying, so imperative, because you know when we're talking about everything burning and where we're going is unimaginable. It's not like I think we're just going to be floating around and you know not being working aloof. You're just like in the forest meditating all day every day for the rest of your days. No, it's like I think we are going to still contribute in society. It's just exactly what you just said, not from a like how productive am I, more like how am I contributing. How am I, what is the energy and frequency, because that's all we are, that I'm emitting that is essentially like affecting other people. And I think that right now we just talked to Casey Lum about a no buy and going a year without buying and the power that that created, because it literally broke the program that our worth is in what we buy or what we wear, and how this whole system is built on us contributing to it over and over with money, with buying things. And I think we are still going to contribute. Like, we're not here. I think you're saying the same thing. Like, we're not here to just like sit and do nothing, but it's understanding that one, our worth is inherent just because we are here.
Yeah.
Just because we are. And that you contributing is from a place of desire and creativity and that container where you get to flow versus like, oh, I made 10K this month, or I put out 10,000 emails. I'm productive. I'm enough, you know?
Yeah. And I love that example, because it's a beautiful telling way that this shift is happening in so many layers.
Yeah.
Right? She's talking about clothes.
Yeah.
And fashion and money. And I'm talking about like emotions and spirituality. And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It is the same thing. It's the same blueprint of like, this doesn't feel like it does any, it should, or it doesn't feel good anymore, right? So like, what is the shift? What is the change? And I think that's that unknown of like, I don't know what the future is, but I know it ain't this, right? And so we're kind of just like ushering ourselves forward, and the courage to do that, the bravery to do that, to say like, this doesn't work for us anymore and I don't know what's next. Like, fucking badass. We're doing great. You guys are doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the place to be in.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
We chose it.
I mean, some people think I'm crazy, but I don't care. I'm just like, I'd rather be crazy than be stuck in the matrix system.
I want to talk a little bit about like this love and seeking. Like the balance between like loving yourself and seeking. Yeah. I mean, I think there's so much information out there right now where we're constantly learning new things, new health trends, information about the universe. And like, I want to talk a little to like, what is the balance between like, look, I'm good. I don't need to know all that stuff in order to feel safe.
Yeah.
Or I can also see like, I want to learn those things because I find myself in learning more things. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying, like, yeah. There's so much information out there. TikTok, new trends, mm-hmm. new things about our health, new things about the universe, new spiritual things that you haven't learned yet. Like, there's this constant desire for more information. I do think we find ourselves in more mm-hmm. information. Like, okay, the more that we learn, the more that we have to digest and, like, see, does that resonate, does not resonate?
Yeah.
Versus something that I dabble in more is, like, why am I seeking so much information? Why don't I just mm-hmm. be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's so exciting and so thrilling to learn more information.
Yeah.
Because through more information, I find myself. Do you see like the contradicting
thoughts yeah.
and paths?
Yes. In that? Yes. And I think it's all like a spectrum. It's linear in some ways, right? So you're on this path, you're learning. And then at some point, it starts to feel overwhelmed. Some point, you give away your authority. Some point, you're feeling more stressed out and you're like, how am I going to integrate all this? So again, those are cues. Then you pull back because you want to kind of land somewhere in the center because yes, we need to learn. And yes, we need to ground and listen to our own voice. And so again, it's just this invitation to be in the flow and notice where you start to like
give your authority away.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about that the other day is like, I'm like, stop reading shit for like a day, you know, yeah, like
that's so funny. That brings me back to that we were talking about.
Like yes. you don't need to learn anything more right now. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have everything inside of you. And I think that's an important part of why we need community and people. And I have, you do the same thing for me, right? It's like you get these people that kind of pull you out a little bit and mm-hmm. like you know, a lot. Right. And so now this feels like this isn't resonating with you in the same way in the previous purpose that was there to mm-hmm. begin with. Mm-hmm. So again, nothing is good or bad. Mm-hmm. Think of everything as neutral and everything kind of like on that scale. And so you just want to keep pulling yourself back to the middle. Same thing with the masculine feminine. We're just pulling ourselves back to the middle.
Yeah.
We can't live in the middle. Yeah. It's impossible. We are pulled in so many different directions. I mean, how fucking boring would life be anyway if we weren't, right? Yeah. So like
– that's so good. As a Libra, all I can think about is balance.
Yeah. And that's – so again, like personalize that, right? Like
– no, totally. I just think it's permission too because I think when people go on this journey, they yeah. realize they are on one spectrum, right? They've been in the extreme of what X, whatever thing they're healing or working yeah. in. Then they go to the other extreme and then they're like, wait, how do I only find my middle? Like I've been told middle is good.
Mm.
But you just gave everyone permission to be like, you're never always going to be in the middle. You're just going to constantly be reorientating to the new information that you've got. Mm-hmm. And it's this constant internal practice of that.
And that's growth.
Yeah. Totally.
That's evolution, mm-hmm. right? That's because that middle becomes like different and a different color and it morphs and like, mm-hmm. but you feel better because you went to one side and you're like, oh, I learned this about myself. And so I'm going to pull it here. Mm-hmm. Like it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's how it's supposed to be, totally. You know?
I want to pull the thread on having community or like the reflections in the mirrors. I mean, we yeah. talk so much about how being in relationship to one another is the most beautiful evolution that you could ever be in. And mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of that in our growth? Like yeah. it's one thing that you're reading all the books or like you're listening to all the podcasts on your own and it's so easy to consume all that information, mm-hmm. but there's nothing like someone seeing you in mm-hmm. your process and like either calling you forward or calling you back into your body, your space, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think community is more important now than ever because we've slowly, like it's like the frog in the water where it's boiling. We've slowly isolated ourselves more and more and more and more and more with technology, right? So, and I feel like
also more technologies here too right now.
Right. But I feel like I can't, like it's like law, it's not law of attraction. I don't know. It's like the balancing of things. Like the more technology, the more need we actually will have for humanity and physicality and community. Mm-hmm. So it's not that like tech's gonna take over because our human side's gonna be like, okay, but where are my friends? What am I doing? Like I'm like alone in my house or yeah. I'm like only on Zoom or like I need this like in-person connection. I think we're gonna start craving it more and more. And again, we're building something new, right? So I feel like we're kind of balancing back into that. And it is so important, whether it is in therapy or it's in a group of women that you trust or if it's like an astrology reading. I don't know. It's just like what human design, whatever you can do to learn more about yourself and to connect with other people, like it's the fucking best. Mm-hmm. Like You think about like when you're having a hard day and you want to like go for coffee with a girlfriend and how good you feel after that. Like we need this human connection. And so I think we're going to start craving it more and more and more. I think it's only going to get bigger. So
amplified
that shit.
Well, in history too, women were always together.
Right.
I mean, we circle always operated together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
I think too, like I love, even with astrology, I mean, I love astrology and I believe in it. I also think, like you said, it's all just a tool to help you go inward and then you can trust yourself. You can learn more about yourself and then you know when you're meant to absorb something or you're not. Or there's so many things I've listened to. Like, I mean, I've been on a spiritual journey for a long time. Mm-hmm. I've read so many books and I can go back and be like, oh, that actually opened my mind in this way, but the rest of it didn't resonate, or this person resonated at one point and actually now I feel like I've evolved into a different version of me that doesn't resonate. And I think it's okay to like change your mind about how you feel about someone that you looked up to or thought a certain way about, or you read a book with information and you're like, yeah, this hits, and then 3 months later you're like, actually I don't resonate with that at all, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's also the gift in giving yourself permission to evolve, like you said, to be in that space of, I mean, even for me, I love questioning and absorbing and thinking about all these things, but there's also a part of me sometimes that I'm like, okay, I'm good. Yes. Like, I'm enough. I haven't read a self-help book probably in 2 years because I'm just like, I got it. I'm cool. Like, if I need to, if I feel called and something finds me, I would totally read it. But I also think, like, I know myself enough that I can trust I could go inward and figure out what needs to be felt, heard, said.
Yeah. I have not read a self-help book in ever, maybe. Like,
Yeah, maybe decades. I mean, probably more than 2 years, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's that authority, right? Yeah. Like, is this too much? Do I feel good? Do I not? And then sometimes the best book is community. The best way to learn things about yourself is through other people.
I also think you can't hide yourself as much in community, like in person. I think it's harder because you can feel someone's energy. So like we feel each other's energy here so strongly. Mm-hmm. If we were on Zoom or we were, you know, you can show up as part of yourself, you know, like you can't be you. Yeah. You can avoid being all of you.
Right. Yeah. And that's really scary too, right? Like how do I show up as myself or what part is showing up? But it's definitely needed. So.
So good.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Wow, I'm loving this conversation. I'm like, we could do 2 hours.
I know.
I just looked at my phone and I was like, no, it's over. No, it's not over. We have one more question though.
Okay.
Okay. So the big question that we'd love to ask you, or like the number one question, is like, you've shared so much about your journey.
Mm-hmm.
You've also shared so many tools. But I'd love to know, where in your life are you feeling called to be more fully expressed? It's gonna be life, love, or business.
I feel like love and like relationships, as I'm looking for a new relationship, I think is like, you know, I mean, I got out of that relationship to be in a different one. And I think that has been like really pushing me and challenging me. And I think a lot of times too, when we have like a bad breakup or a divorce, we're like, I'm never going to be in a relationship again. And it's like, that's our fucking playground. Like, that's where we learn. That's where we grow. And it's hard and it's beautiful. And, you know, just like community, it's so needed. And so I'm really kind of growing in love and like, what does it mean to love myself? What do I want? And what do I really want? And then how do I actually express that fully? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot, again, is in the sexuality, sensuality, but then also my emotions, like to fucking just let it rip, because not that I don't care, but I have this holding of self. And so whoever is on the receiving end of that, can they hold that or have that boundary as well without like judging it or shutting it down or invalidating it and just like letting it be? And that has been the most powerful experience of thus far in my 41 years, you know, and the most freeing thing. And so, yeah, I think to authentically be all of me, which is easier said than done in an intimate relationship.
Love that.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's coming.
It's such a yummy feeling. Yeah. And also like you said, it's your playground. It's that like that next level of growth. It made me think of women that never marry or like never date again. I'm like, you've only met one part of yourself. Like you haven't really got to see this beautiful expanded version of you that is so available to you, but it's only through relationship to others.
Yeah.
just wild.
I know.
But it's the most beautiful, magnificent thing. It makes me think of heaven in a lot of ways. It's like, mm-hmm. no, this is what we were meant to receive.
Yeah.
This is why we want to be in relationship with another person, mm-hmm. The masculine or whatever you choose. But, you know.
Yeah. I love love.
Me too.
I love love. I
love love.
But you feel it. You go through the muddiness with them. That's how yeah. you access that level of love.
Right. And they mm-hmm. activate something in within you mm-hmm. if you're ready for that, mm-hmm. you know. But again, that comes back to that responsibility. If I want an emotionally available partner, I have to be emotionally available. Mm-hmm. So what does that look like?
Yeah. And on that note.
On that note. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
So awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you, more honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.